Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Chris, when you have a moment.
Go ahead, I'm here for Chris.
Good morning, Chris. Sorry to bother you during your post-sleep, but we require a power cycle on PMD. If you could complete ECLS 3.8.101, that's steps 5.1 and 5.2, we'd appreciate it.
3.8.101, 5.1, 5.2. Thanks. Yep. Got it.
Thank you.
Houston, station on 2. We have completed that power cycle with PMD.
Thank you, Chris. Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Chris and PMD.
Head on 2 for Chris.
Hey, Chris, so that power cycle was no joy, so we're going to have you go back into that procedure and complete steps 3 and 4. That's just checking to see if the SSC lid is open and the USB cable connections are mated. And if you could do a visual check of that power chain to see if it's intact for us, that would be great. And just for some context for you, we don't have pressure insight into the vestibule, so we want to see if these steps help. If not, we might have to move to a jump ring plan today.
Okay, yep, that all makes sense, and copy all. So 3 and 4 in that same procedure, which is just checking that SSC, 3.8.101.
Those are...
Houston, station on 2 for PMD.
We're with you on 2.
Yeah, so we completed those steps. We disconnected the USB cable and reconnected it and checked everything on both ends. But yeah, we're still seeing hardware not found on the laptop GUI.
All right, we copy. Just give us a couple minutes. I'll come back with a story.
Okay, yep, happy to try some more power cycles if that's helpful. But yeah, we'll stand by.
Did you see anything unusual for the power chain inspection that you did? Everything still looks like it's connected nominally?
Yeah, everything still looks like it's connected nominally. We still have good nominal power lights and a blinking CPU light on PMD. Everything looks good on the laptop.
All right, we copy. Give me a couple minutes.
Copy.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Chris and PMD.
This is with you,
Anthony. Hey, Chris, we're going to take your suggestion of one more power cycle, so that's steps 5.1 and 5.2 of that same procedure. We don't have KU, so we won't be able to see from the ground, but let us know what you see on the GUI when you're complete that action.
Okay, yeah, copy out. We'll do 5.1, 5.2 again for the power cycle of the PMD, and we'll check the GUI and see if that changed anything. Houston, station on 2 for PMD. We did another power cycle of the PMD. The unit does make an audible noise when you turn it on, so it's clearly powering up, and we're seeing good lights on that. It sounds nominal, and then everything connection-wise still looks nominal to the laptop, but we're still seeing hardware not found in the top right.
All right, Chris, thanks for that report. We've got 30 seconds to an LOS, but we'll have a forward plan for you in a couple minutes here, and it will take about an hour and a half of your time.
Okay, yep, copy all.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Chris and PMD.
Hi there.
Hey, one last thing before I have you step into some other activities. Can you close and reopen that GUI and let us know what you see?
Work. They have been the trick. Where it said hardware disconnected, it now says serial number 1002 connected. There's a bunch of messages listed in the operating information. Let me know if you need that.
That's great news. We're going to talk about it on the ground. Hopefully that just saved the rest of your day, Chris. Thanks.
Of course.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Chris, and I think Jack maybe was who I was speaking to. Thanks for what you did with the SSC there. It looks like that will have done the trick. As soon as we get KU back, we'll make sure that we're good to go, but looks like we won't have any forward actions for you at this time for the PMD.
And station copies all. Thanks for that, and keeping our fingers crossed. Station on 2 for PMD.
With you on 2.
I just wanted to give you a heads up. We heard PMD shut off, and I see there's an alert that a value is outside the expected range on the GUI right now. Just wanted to give you guys a heads up on that.
Thanks very much for that. We saw the same thing. Looks like it's coming back into range. We're working it from the ground, but thanks for keeping an eye on it.
Okay, yep. We're obviously super super hopeful that it'll all work out, so let us know if there's anything we can do to help.
Will do. Thank you so much.
Of course.
And station, so PMD for Cygnus commanding.
Go ahead on two.
So I'm ready for the procedure to command Cygnus, and as soon as you go.
You are go to start.
Okay. Sensation for Cygnus. Command path LED is on and nav lights activated via BCS command.
That's a good checkout. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
And Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for the awareness of the crew. Your no exercise constraint is lifted. However, no T2 exercise is still in effect.
Sure.
Mission Munich on Space to Ground 2 for Chris and SRM box activity. No response required. Sorry for let you waiting. We have good news. You are good to start the activity whenever you prefer, and we are ready to support from ground.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Sophie. No requirement for a response, but we're ready for your 8:45 activity whenever you are.
Houston, Sophie on 2 for Cygnus activity.
Go ahead, Sophie. We're ready for you.
Okay, so I understand I am go to close Node 1 deck hatch and bell. Is that correct?
That's correct. You are a go.
Okay. In what?
Houston Station Sophie on 2, that task complete. And bell of Node 1 deck hatch is closed.
Copy.
There we go. Station Cesium 2 for Lab 1 monitor.
With you on 2, Sophie, go ahead.
Yes, so I did set up a Lab 1 camera on monitor 1. I wanted to know if it's okay for you that way.
Right, Sophie, we're pretty close. Could you turn up the brightness on the screen and maybe make it square to us? It's a little at an angle. Yeah, that looks...
All right, can you remind me, because right now all three monitors are off. And so do you want me to turn them on and do some video routing?
You could just push the up arrow for the brightness on the left there, and that should be good.
I understand, but right now it is off. Oh, okay, it was actually on, but just with zero brightness. I get it now. Is it better that way?
All right, so close, Sophie. If you could zoom out just a little bit, we can't quite see the top of the screen. Perfect. That looks great. Thank you.
Okay. You're very welcome. Houston Station on 2 for Cygnus.
Go ahead on 2.
Hey, Aaron, just a quick question. Can you remind us of the direction of departure for Cygnus? Like, what will the track be?
So you should see it go in front and below, then up and behind.
In front and below, then up and behind. Cool. Thank you.
Munich, station on 2 for a quick timeline question after this LOS.
And Chris, we will be ready to take your question after the LOS.
If I can get it out really quickly, I'm just trying to squeeze some exercise in here before the no exercise constraints, and was wondering if there's any flexibility of going slightly early or slightly late on this SRM task. Thank you. That's the ground support is available, or what their constraints are. Thanks.
And Chris, we are available anytime.
A copy. I will try to step into it momentarily, if that's okay, then.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for the awareness of the crew. T2 is go for use.
Station copies. T2 go for use. Munich, station on 2 for SRM.
Please, with you on 2.
Yeah, I have completed my SRM task. Just be advised, so when I got to SRM, I rotated it around 180 degrees. But then when I got to the check step in 1.5, after rotating at 180 degrees, the front side of SRM was facing station forward. So I'm wondering if it may have gotten inadvertently rotated at some point. I have re-rotated it so that the front side is facing ISS aft, and that's the current configuration, and I'll send you some pictures of that. But just for your awareness, it seems to me that the orientation of it was the front side facing aft when I got there.
Copy. All Chris and the ground team made a note, but thanks for putting it in the right configuration now.
Yep, absolutely, and I'll make sure everybody knows. It's unfortunately in an area that's right by where the ultrasounds are set up, so I think it might be easy to get bumped, but I'll let everybody know to be careful of it.
And we copy all. Thank you very much for the heads up, Chris.
Pleasure.
Houston Station, Sophie on 2 for Cygnus.
Go ahead on 2, we're with you.
Yes, just wanted to let you know that I'm ready for the next Cygnus activity.
All right, Sophie, SSRMS at Cygnus release point, and MSS is configured for hot backup. Your go for step 1, of 1.602 Cygnus release and departure monitoring. And if you are ready to copy, I can give you some times.
Yeah, I understand. Go for step one on 1.602, and I'm ready to go be the times.
Okay, your plan release time, 1105, release window open, 1059, release window close, 1211. Notify us when you're ready for the release briefing.
Okay, plan release time 1105, release window open, 1059, release window close, 1211, and I'm ready for the briefing. Oh, standby one. No, I need to check a few things before. Houston Station Sophian 2, ready for the release briefing.
Okay, Sophie, so for your briefing, we have spotty KU today, so we want to emphasize in the event that ground loses video, clearance calls from you will be required after drift out. In this instance, ground will wait for your 1.5 meter clearance confirmation before starting motion. How copy?
Yeah, I understand that clearance calls will be required, especially 1.5 meters.
Okay, that's great. And just to, you can review the remainder of the brief steps 2 through 6, sorry, the remainder of your departure and monitoring procedure, steps 2 through 6, and then you can move into the next activity, which has a crew release briefing, and that's on your timeline. You can call down when that's complete.
Okay, reviewing 2 through 6 set of procedure 1.602, and then moving on to the next activity in the timeline.
Be back.
Good morning from Mission Control Houston at NASA's Johnson Space Center. I'm Nilofer Ramji with NASA Communications. We are coming to you live from the International Space Station Flight Control Room as we begin our coverage for Northrop Grumman's 23rd Commercial Resupply Services for NASA to the space station. We are currently in orbital night, but as the sun rises in the next few minutes, you'll begin to see the cargo spacecraft while we're on the air with you this morning. The Cygnus XL cargo spacecraft, named the SS William Willie McCool, is Northrop Grumman's 22nd commercial resupply services mission to the space station. Following a 175-day stay, the cargo spacecraft is set to depart from the space station this morning. Cygnus is currently situated...
Station Sophian 2 for Cygnus.
Sophian 2, go ahead.
Just as a question regarding to communication, you said that KU might be an issue today. Did you expect also some LS or some previously? So first, do we stay on 2 the whole time? And did you have something, some words about the radio change or other channels, backup channels?
Sophie, we're going to stay on 2 with you for today, and we're not anticipating any major LOSs during this event. The warning about KU is just—it's just been a little spotty today, but we expect we should be able to maintain our video.
Okay, good copy.
And you just heard a conversation between Capcom and European Space Agency astronaut Sophie Adenau about today's operation and us losing or. Transferring between TGRS satellites as we go through our communications during the operation this morning. And there you're looking at...
I am ready for 1.602, step 2, whenever it will be the good time.
We copy, standby.
So that's the Cygnus departure review is complete.
We copy.
Cygnus departure review is complete, and I'm standing by.
Roger, we copy, your review is complete.
So you're looking at a live view of the Cygnus XL cargo spacecraft attached to the end of the International Space Station's Canada Arm 2 robotic arm. Cygnus is currently in its release position and on internal power as we continue today's operation. There you see this bright view of the solar arrays. So we're going through daylight. Cygnus is currently situated in its release position at the end of the station's robotic arm, sitting about 15 meters away from the orbiting laboratory. We'll follow along this morning as Cygnus is released from the station's robotic arm. Once released, we expect the spacecraft to conduct a 6-minute and 40-second departure burn and maneuver away from the space station through the keep-out sphere and the approach ellipsoid. Once the Cygnus XL spacecraft reaches the approach ellipsoid, it will keep going to further distance itself from the space station. And though our live coverage will end, the spacecraft will be commanded to deorbit on Saturday, March 14th, to dispose of several thousand pounds of trash during its re-entry into Earth's atmosphere, where it will harmlessly burn up over the Pacific Ocean. Today's departure marks the second ground-controlled robotic release of a cargo ship to leave station following the departure of the Japanese Aerospace Exploration Agency's HTV-X1 last week. So there we see the Cygnus XL spacecraft attached to the robotic arm in its release position as we continue today's operation. And speaking of today's operation, here on the ground in Houston, we have Flight Director... As I was saying, here on the ground in Houston, we have Flight Director Garrett Hain, who is overseeing today's spacecraft departure. The Flight Director's role today is to lead and work closely with their team of flight controllers. And they're also responsible to gather information and data from all of the flight controllers in the room and lead the team through various major milestones. The Flight Director also approves or declines suggestions based on pre-established flight rules. Right next to the flight director, to his right, to Garrett's right, we have Capcom. Today's Capcom, or capsule communicator, to Garrett's right, is Aaron Edwards. Capcom serves as the primary communication between Mission Control and the crew aboard station. While there are several members in Mission Control Houston here in the flight control room, another member of the Mission Control team who's been busy supporting today's operation is the Robo Console. Today's RoboFlight controller is Casey Chen. Casey has been working with the Canada Arm 2 robotic arm, maneuvering it to complete work outside the space station. And I wanted to cover one more console position while we're on the air this morning, and that is the VVO, the visiting vehicle officers, who are Nicholas Lopez and Nate Yotalto. They're supporting and monitoring with the flight control teams at Northrop Grumman's facility in Dulles, Virginia, for today's departure. We are just about a minute away from the go-no-go poll for the release and departure of Northrop Grumman's 23rd commercial resupply departure from the International Space Station this morning. This morning, you'll hear Capcom or Aaron's voice during today's operation communicating with European Space Agency astronaut Sophie Adeno, who is aboard the space station. Adeno will be monitoring the departure of Northrop Grumman's 23rd commercial resupply services for NASA to the orbiting laboratory from the station's cupola. In addition to Adeno, there are a total of 7 crew members living and working aboard the space station. Expedition 74 represents 3 different space agencies, including NASA, the European Space Agency, and Roscosmos. Last month, Crew 12...
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2. Sophie, you are go for Cygnus configuration checks. Perform step 2 in 1.602, release and departure monitoring.
Step 2 for 1.602.
Running now. Go, no go poll is currently underway.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2, for the awareness of the crew, you have 3 minutes to a no exercise constraint. That's on your timeline.
Copies. And for Sophie, Cygnus configuration checks complete. Crew is ready for release and departure.
And we copy.
Excellent. We heard several call-outs right now, but in the room here in the flight control room, we did pull go for departure, and you heard Capcom speaking to Sophie Adeno, who also confirmed she is ready for today's operation. We can see views of the cargo spacecraft attached to the Canada Arm 2 robotic arm. We are currently in orbital daylight as the space station is flying over the west coast of South America. So as I was saying a little bit earlier, Expedition 74 does represent 3 different space agencies, including NASA, the European Space Agency, and Roscosmos. Last month, Crew 12 joined Expedition 74, which includes the NASA astronauts Chris Williams, Jessica Meir, and Jack Hathaway, and European Space Agency astronaut who I shared earlier, Sophie Adeno, as well as 3 Roscosmos cosmonauts, Sergei Kuzverkov, Sergei Mikhaev, and Andrei Fediaev. Expedition 74 began in December 2025 following the departure of the Soyuz MS-27 spacecraft. Expedition 74 will continue into July of this year. Good morning, and if you're just joining us, we are coming to you live from the International Space Station Flight Control Room covering the departure of Northrop Grumman's Cygnus XL spacecraft from the International Space Station. You are looking at live views of the Cygnus spacecraft attached to the Canada Arm 2 robotic arm. Station is currently flying 260 statute miles above South America right now, and we see some great views of the solar arrays deployed on the Cygnus spacecraft. The view currently on your screen is from the end effector of the Canada Arm 2 robotic arm. This is the view that we will see as the Cygnus spacecraft continues to back away from the robotic arm and from the space station this morning. We'll continue to monitor that view while we are going through our coverage this morning.
And Sophie, it's Houston on 2, just for your information. We are down one IMU. We're still go, but we're going to take a couple minutes to talk about it down here, so we might be a minute or two delayed from our planned release time.
Three copies.
And you just heard that call out between Aaron and Sophie Adenau. We are tracking for a release that might be potentially delayed, but we'll continue to monitor here in the flight control room.
And Station Houston, go for Cygnus departure on time. Perform steps 3 and 4 in 1.602, release and departure monitoring.
Go for departure, and I'm performing steps 3 and 4 of 1.602.
Good call-outs right there, and we just heard that we are just about under 2 minutes away from an on-time departure of NASA Northrop Grumman's commercial resupply mission for NASA to the International Space Station. Once again, you are looking at live views of the Cygnus XL spacecraft attached to the Canada Arm 2 robotic arm, and that's about 15 meters away from the International Space Station.
And Sophie, ISS thrusters are inhibited, and ground is go for release.
P, ground go for release.
Good call-outs right there this morning. At this time, we just received the go for release and departure of the Cygnus XL spacecraft from the flight control teams here in Mission Control Houston, as well as the Northrop Grumman teams in Dulles, Virginia.
We're proceeding with release.
Keep proceeding.
Release commanded.
This is Mission Control Houston as we continue joint operations.
Release commanded.
And we heard a great call out there. Release was commanded of the Cygnus XL cargo spacecraft this morning at 6:05 a.m. Central, 7:05 a.m. Eastern. As we continue joint operations between NASA and Northrop Grumman's team at their facility in Dulles, Virginia. And we should be seeing that drift out from this view right now of the end effector.
And confirms there is open, and I begin monitoring drift out.
And we heard that call out right there. Snares are open, and the Cygnus XL spacecraft is continuing to drift out. With this on-time release and confirmation from the flight controllers here, they have disabled the space station thrusters. This happens when the robotic arm releases, and the spacecraft, and it releases, sorry, the spacecraft, so the space station stays in the same orientation with no motion. Teams do this to make sure there are no automatic thrusters that are firing.
And has exited the lead. Go for back away.
We copy, proceeding with back away.
Good call outs right there as we're seeing the spacecraft back away or drift away from the space station. The spacecraft is flying free away from the robotic arm. Cygnus was successfully released from the International Space Station robotic arm this morning at 6:06 a.m. Central, 7:06 a.m. Eastern. At the time of release, the space station was flying 260 statute miles above the South Pacific.
P, back away in progress.
Good call-outs for back away, and we see the Cygnus XL spacecraft continuing to back away from the Canada Arm 2 robotic arm.
That's 1.5 meters.
Copy.
And as mentioned earlier, European Space Agency astronaut Sophie Adenau is monitoring today's operation from the space station's cupola. She's going to continue to monitor as the spacecraft continues to back away from the International Space Station. We heard call outs for proceeding with back away as well as back away in progress. And that basically means that ground teams began the commanding for the spacecraft to back away, and then the back away began. We're seeing good views here of that separation.
It's in 4.5 meters.
We copy. Thank you.
Great call-outs there as the vehicle continues to back away. So we're seeing a great close-up view from the International Space Station's robotic arm. You've been hearing conversation between European Space Agency astronaut Sophie Adeno as well as Aaron from our capsule communicator.
Then station Sophie, should I wait for your go for the back away complete?
We're just catching up to you. Back away complete.
Okay, so performing step 4 of procedure 1, decimal 602.
We concur.
You just heard that call out for back away complete, and we are standing by for the departure burn. Once again, Cygnus was successfully released from the International Space Station's robotic arm at 6.06 a.m. Central, 7.06 a.m. Eastern. At the time of release, the space station was flying over the South Atlantic. So as mentioned, we are standing by for that departure burn. The departure burn is a 6-minute and 40-second departure burn, and it will place the spacecraft in a 24-hour safe trajectory away from the International Space Station.
Depart commended.
And we copy. Cygnus departure burn is in progress. Monitor departure burn, step 5 in 1.602.
Monitoring step 5 in 1.602.
Great call-outs as well as views that we're seeing right here. The departure burn is underway. As mentioned, it will last about 6 minutes and 40 seconds. This departure burn continues to move the spacecraft further away from the space station, which is currently just a little over 18 meters away. During the departure burn, we will hear a keep-out sphere exit, so we are standing by for that call-out. As mentioned, we are standing by for the keep-out sphere exit. There are two boundaries around the International Space Station. The first is called the keep-out sphere, which is like in the neighborhood of the space station. So once Cygnus passes the keep-out sphere, it then travels further out and passes the approach ellipsoid. This is ultimately will set the cargo spacecraft on its 24-hour safe trajectory. These boundaries are safety boundaries that require go, no-go pulls, and they're used in the unlikely event that something goes wrong with the Cygnus spacecraft as it departs. First zone that I mentioned, called the keep-out sphere. It's a zone that consists of an imaginary sphere around the space station with a radius of 200 meters. And then the second zone, a little bit further out, called the approach ellipsoid, is an imaginary shape measuring 4 kilometers by 2 kilometers by 2 kilometers. Essentially, think of it as a large three-dimensional oval. These boundaries are just another chance to confirm that all of the guidance, navigation, and control systems are working correctly on Cygnus as it continues to move away from the space station. If you are just joining us, we are coming to you live from the International Space Station Flight Control Room here at the Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. We are here to continue our coverage of Northrop Grumman's 23rd Commercial Resupply Services for NASA to the space station. The Cygnus XL cargo spacecraft, named the SS William Willie McCool, is Northrop Grumman's 22nd Commercial Resupply Services mission to the space station. Following a 175-day stay, the cargo spacecraft departed the space station this morning at 6.06 a.m. Central, 7.06 a.m. Eastern, as the station was flying 260 miles above the South Atlantic.
So station, step 6 complete.
And Sophie, yes, departure burn is complete, and in fact, Cygnus has exited the 200-meter keep-out sphere. And from all of us here in Houston and our partners at Northrop Grumman and our robotics team in Montreal, we want to thank you for your assistance with the departure today. We also want to thank Cygnus as it drifts back to Earth for a job well done. This extra large format vehicle brought aboard thousands of pounds of science and supplies, and perhaps most importantly for you folks, snacks.
Missions like this don't happen without the dedication and teamwork of so many people across NASA and our partners, and that spirit of cooperation and excellence was captured in the very name of this vehicle, the SS Commander William McCool, someone who embodied those same values every day. Thanks for your help today, Sophie.
Thank you to everyone on the ground in Canada, in the U.S., and everywhere all over the world for making this beautiful event happen. It's magic to see and to witness how technology and science, what we can do with all of this. It's very beautiful from here. I'm going to hand over the mic to Jack. He has a few words to say.
Houston, and thanks, Sophie. Good morning, everyone. I'm U.S. Navy Captain and NASA astronaut Jack Hathaway, a member of Expedition 74 on board the International Space Station. While astronauts serve long-duration missions, resupply and cargo vehicles bring new science experiments, critical hardware to carry out our mission, and care packages from our families. Leading us today is a Cygnus cargo vehicle that carries with it a tradition of naming the spacecraft to honor someone special. This Cygnus is named in honor of Captain Willie McCool, a NASA astronaut, the naval aviator who was serving as pilot of the Space Shuttle Columbia on STS-107 in 2003 when he and the crew tragically perished during reentry. We remember the crew and hold their families in our hearts and prayers as we continue our shared mission of human spaceflight. For me personally, it's a great honor to have followed some of William McCool's footsteps as an Eagle Scout, Naval Academy grad, naval aviator and test pilot, and a first spaceflight assignment as a spacecraft pilot. He was an inspiration to me when I was a young naval officer, and I strive every day to be worthy of the legacy and the example he set. I feel grateful today to be living and working on the ISS with my fellow crewmates while the Cygnus spacecraft Willie McCool was berthed to Node 1 Nadir, our Earth-facing docking port. As we watched the Cygnus depart, so that she performed her critical resupply mission flawlessly, and today we say fair winds and following seas as she heads off to complete her mission. Following naval tradition, we will now render departure honors by ringing the ISS ship's bell. Spacecraft, Willie McCool, departed.
Thank you for that, Sophie and Jack. We appreciate it. And like you said, it was a job well done.
Great words from the crew, both ESA astronaut Sophie Adeno and NASA astronaut Jack Hathaway. You heard several call-outs and conversations just recently. Depart burn was completed, and shortly after that departure burn was completed, you heard that Cygnus did exit that keep-out sphere. This means that the SS Willie McCool spacecraft has now exited the International Space Station's 200-meter boundary. Here in the International Space Station Flight Control Room, flight controllers and mission control are in joint operations, working with their counterparts at Northrop Grumman's Control Center in Dulles, Virginia. Earlier this morning, robotics operators here in Mission Control received the go to demate Cygnus, and then they used the Canada Arm 2 robotic arm to uninstall the spacecraft from its port and guide it away from the space station into its release position. Release was commanded and snares were opened as the spacecraft free flew away from the robotic arm. And the cargo spacecraft was successfully released from the International Space Station's robotic arm at 6.06 a.m. Central, 7.06 a.m. Eastern, as the space station was flying 260 statute miles above the Atlantic. Once released, Cygnus completed a successful departure burn that lasted approximately 6 minutes and 40 seconds, and then it just crossed the 200-meter keep-out sphere. We are now standing by, waiting for it to cross the approach ellipsoid. We're seeing room views here of the International Space Station Flight Control Room as we continue a signal handover between satellites. As mentioned, we are waiting for NG's Northrop Grumman's 23rd Commercial Resupply Services Cygnus XL spacecraft to depart the approach ellipsoid. That's essentially a large three-dimensional oval measuring 4 kilometers by 2 kilometers by 2 kilometers that you see on your screen right now. It's the final boundary putting the spacecraft in its 24-hour free drift trajectory. So while we are under 10 minutes away from the approach ellipsoid exit, once the vehicle crosses it, joint operations will end. So we'll then wrap up coverage and responsibility of the vehicle is handed back to Northrop Grumman. Following a deorbit engine firing, Cygnus will begin a planned re-entry in which the spacecraft will safely and harmlessly burn up in the Earth's atmosphere. We're under 10 minutes away from the approach ellipsoid exit, and a unique capability with Cygnus is its trash disposal. While the astronauts aboard the International Space Station unloaded the 11,000 pounds that Cygnus delivered back in September, since then, the crew has repacked Cygnus again with trash and other unwanted items over the last 175 days. Yesterday, the crew aboard the space station finished packing Cygnus and configured the spacecraft for its release and departure today.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Sophie.
She's listening on 2.
Hey, we're about to enter a bit of an LOS here, so that no T2 constraint will remain until about 11:42 and an additional 10 minutes after that. We're not quite finished our commanding.
Okay, no T2. Do you want me to leave the Lab 1 cam then without the wide attachment on the Monitor 1?
I think, Sophie, we're actually done with that view, so you're go with your next activities.
Okay, thank you.
You just heard great call-outs there between Capcom and the crew aboard station. We are currently going through a period of loss of signal, so although ground controllers will continue to monitor the approach ellipsoid exit, we are here in the International Space Station Flight Control Room. It's Northrop's tradition to name each Cygnus spacecraft after an individual who has made significant contributions to human spaceflight. The NG-23 Cygnus spacecraft is named in honor of NASA astronaut William Willie McCool. McCool was an astronaut and naval aviator who piloted the 2003 Columbia spacecraft and lost his life during the mission. His naval career included over 2,800 flight hours and in 24 aircraft and more than 400 career arrestments. After being selected by NASA to become an astronaut in April 1996, he reported to the Johnson Space Center in August 1996. McCool completed 2 years of training and evaluation and was qualified for flight assessment as a pilot. Willie McCool's spaceflight career reached its pinnacle with his role as pilot of STS-107 aboard the Space Shuttle Columbia. The mission, which launched on January 16, 2003, was dedicated to scientific research, with the crew conducting approximately 80 experiments over a 16-day period. Tragically, the mission ended abruptly on February 1, 2003, when Columbia disintegrated during re-entry, just 16 minutes before the scheduled landing, resulting in the loss of McCool and his fellow crew members.
And Station Houston.
Houston, station on 2 for ARED.
Go ahead. We've got 1 minute before an LOS.
I see it coming. I'll just package it because it's probably an answer that you'll have to check on. Chris did. He put a crew note. He did tighten in order to shorten the rope. He did 2 turns on the tension mechanism knob. However, now the cable arm is popping out again. So during my workout, I went back to cable exercises, but it still wasn't staying in. We're wondering if DME might recommend taking one of those turns off. Basically, the rope is now just under 7 inches.
We copy and we'll assess and break. Sophie, if you are still on with us, you can no perform step 2 in your DAC activity.
And while we are continuing to monitor today's operations, that was the voice of NASA astronaut Jessica Meir speaking with Capcom here in the room. While operations are taking place, the crew is continuing to go about their daily routine, which includes exercise. So that was that conversation you heard right there. So going back to Willie McCool, I wanted to share that in all he had logged 15 days, 22 hours, and 20 minutes in space, and in recognition of his exemplary service and sacrifice, McCool was posthumously awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor, Congressional Space Medal of Honor, rather, the NASA Spaceflight Medal, NASA Distinguished Service Medal, and the Defense Distinguished Service Medal. Willie McCool's legacy endures through his contributions to aviation and space exploration. So as we continue to stand by for the approach ellipsoid exit, which should be happening any minute now, if you're just joining us, we are providing live departure coverage of Northrop Grumman's 23rd Commercial Resupply Services mission for NASA to the space station. The cargo spacecraft was successfully released from the International Space Station's robotic arm at 6:06 a.m. Central, 7:06 a.m. Eastern. Once released, Cygnus completed a successful departure burn that lasted approximately 6 minutes and 40 seconds. And it then crossed the 200-meter keep-out sphere, and we are now standing by for it to cross the approach ellipsoid. We are currently in joint operations with Northrop Grumman's team in Dulles, Virginia. Once again, just standing by for the call out for approach ellipsoid exit. And we just received confirmation in the room that the SS Blaine McCool has exited the approach ellipsoid. The Cygnus XL spacecraft is now 1,000 meters away from the International Space Station. The vehicle has moved outside of the keep-out sphere and outside of the approach ellipsoid, the two major milestones that take the spacecraft outside of the neighborhood of the space station. Joint operations between NASA's International Space Station Flight Control Room and Northrop Grumman's team in Dulles, Virginia have now concluded. Northrop now leads the final phase of the cargo spacecraft's trash disposal, but first Cygnus will be commanded to gradually lower its orbit. It'll execute a series of descent delta velocity burn Saturday morning, slowing the spacecraft to lower its altitude. And then about a 4.5 hours later into Saturday morning, the spacecraft will perform a re-entry burn, once again slowing it down. This two-part braking maneuver will allow the trash-filled receptacle so it can slip out of orbit and safely burn up in Earth's atmosphere around noon central on Saturday over the Pacific. Following the go to D-Mate Cygnus this morning, the Canada Arm 2 robotic arm uninstalled the spacecraft from its port to guide it away from the space station and into its release position. The SS William Willie McCool was released from the International Space Station this morning at 6.06 a.m. Central, 7.06 a.m. Eastern, as the station was flying 260 statute miles above the South Atlantic. Once released, Cygnus completed a successful departure burn that lasted approximately 6 minutes and 40 seconds, then crossed the keep-out sphere and approach ellipsoid. With that, joint operations between NASA and Northrop Grumman have been completed. Thank you so much for joining us this morning as we followed along the release and departure of Northrop Grumman's 23rd Cargo Resupply Services mission for NASA to the International Space Station. You can follow all things International Space Station at nasa.gov/station. This is Mission Control Houston.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Sophie.
Station, Sophie's listening on 2.
Hey, sorry, I probably confused you a little bit there, but where did you end up with your activities just before the LOS?
Well, I started setting up the eye exam, so following procedure 2.3.166, and I am now at the step 2.5, so it's logged out.
All right, Sophie, thanks. So I just want to make sure that wide lens is on, and for your next activity, there will be no need to move the camera.
Okay, so yes, the wide lens is on. And the lab cam one has been relocated for the upcoming eye exam for procedure.
Sounds good. Thanks so much. Sorry about that.
No worries at all. And I'm just ready to position the eye chart close to the SSC and let me know if you have inputs or where you want me to put it.
You can stow that per your preference, and your remote guider will be with you when we're all set.
Copy.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for the awareness of the crew. Cygnus has exited the approach ellipsoid and is on a safe trajectory away from station.
Crew copies. Amazing. Well done, ground team. Station Sophie on 2 for a question, PCS.
Sophie on 2. Sophie, go ahead.
I'm working now on the procedure to relocate the PCSM cables from lab UOP8J4 to the JPM. Just I don't see anywhere the number of the PCS, and I think it would help me a lot for this.
Checking.
Apparently, Chris has the information, and it's the one that is close to robot.
We copy. That's a good read.
Okay.
Sophie, I have a number for you. You can move shell 11 Victor Yankee X-ray. And that'll be for your second activity. You're not quite there yet.
Oh, that's interesting, because the shell that I have, that Chris showed me, is shell number 11, Victor Bravo 4.
That's a good read for that PCS. The cupola is 11, Victor Yankee X-ray, for your next steps.
Okay, for the cupola, I understand. Yeah. Thank you.
And Station Houston on 2 for Jessica and ARED.
Stand by 1, Jessica will call you back shortly.
You.
Thank you.
Hey, Jessica, I was just curious. Did you see the same bar position lagging situation that Chris did?
Yes, with the software, it was really slow. Yesterday, I noticed it lagging a little bit. Today was, like, very considerable, like, several reps behind. So it was that way throughout my workout, but then since I had to switch to cable because of the cable bar coming out, I wasn't really tracking it. So at the end of my session, because of that, I did exit completely out of the software and restarting it, hoping that that would fix it for the next person.
Hey, thanks for that data. What we're going to get you to do next time is block delta, and that should hopefully resolve the inaccurate bar position. That'll be a power cycle. As for the detents not engaging, really sorry about this. I know it's probably getting a little frustrating here for you guys, but if you haven't already, you could try performing 4.1.120 and check that routing. You could try and loosen the cable arm routes by equal half turns on both sides, but we need that exercise rope to be no more than 7 inches to allow for good exercise form. So if you can't loosen it to meet that requirement, tighten the knobs back to 7 inches and keep proceeding with cable exercises until those detents engage.
Okay, we copy all. We can look at 4.1.120. I think that's just making sure that the cables are in the right place, and every time we do that, they are, especially with those new kind of retainers that are on there. I think it's pretty unlikely that they would come out. But we can take another look at that procedure and then understand we could go half turn in the other direction, but we don't want to exceed 7 inches. And just for our knowledge, because some of the inner workings of ARED are sometimes a mystery, is that 7 inches really just for the range of motion for the cable? Because obviously with a longer cable, we have less range of motion, or is it also critical for the cable arm ropes themselves?
Primarily, we think it's for exercise form, but we have our BME digging into the inner workings of ARED for you, so we can try and get you a better answer.
Okay, copy that. Thank you.
And Houston Station on 2, just for a data point, if it's purely a range of motion thing, I know we have our requirements, but I think the crew preference is strongly to have a slightly limited cable range of motion, but have the full ability to do bar exercises. Just to pass that on.
Totally understand your point there, Chris. So we're in fact talking about that right now, and we'll get some answers to you here in a few hours.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Houston Station Sophie on 2 for PCS.
Go ahead, Sophie, with you on 2.
Well, yeah, just to make sure I understand well, I have now deactivated the PCS at lab UOP8J4, and I understand from the execution notes for step 3.5 for the PCS deactivation, it says you only need to disconnect the USDC power and 1663 cable from the UOP. So it means that I'm relocating not only the PCS, but also the cobalt brick and everything that was connected to the UOP, is that correct?
That's a good readback, good understanding, Sophie. We're just curious what else might be connected to that UOP, just to make sure we're in sync. But you are correct in that cobalt brick is going with the PCS. We're just curious what else might be attached to that UOP.
Okay, so there's also something connected to J3, but now I had it per procedure put the power out, so should I leave J3 connected, even UOP is powered out?
All right, thanks, Sophie. That's what we thought we would expect to see there, so you're good to proceed per procedure.
Thank you. I understand that I need to clarify the procedure with you to ensure I don't do something wrong. So the data J3 stays there, right?
That's a good understanding. The J3 stays. The J3 stays there.
Okay. Thank you.
Spill Station on 2 for Nanomax Main from Alpha.
Hey, Chris, I've been waiting all the morning to talk to you. You're go in step 3.1, and that's a good game review for us right now.
Copy all. You read my mind. Thanks very much. I'll get working on it. Huntsville Station on 2. Apologies. I gave you a good view of the installation position, not the removal position. So I missed the view for you on the removal. Apologies for that.
no apologies necessary. I told you it looked good. We just need to see it really going in, so no problem.
Copy all. I'll be getting it over there shortly once I finish the vent closeouts.
Then station CCN 2 for a PCS question.
Go ahead on 2.
Yes, I'm just on the step to repower lab UOP-8. Without further notice, should I just repower this? The question behind is the J4 will remain unconnected, right?
You're go to repower, Sophie.
See, repowering.
And Sophie, no need to respond, but we understand that this execute note was a little difficult to follow. We're going to try and fix this up if we have to do this again, so it's a little easier for folks to manage. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no worries at all, and thank you. Yeah, I think it will be appreciated to have maybe more details or words on this. Thank you.
Huntsville, station on 2. I'm complete through step 6 of 2.010 and ready for your go in step 7. The locker power switch is on and the power switch 5 is on Foxtrot 1.
Excellent work, Chris. Thank you. We'll take it from here.
Copy that. I will get everything cleaned up and let you know in the crew note where we've downlinked the photos. Thank you.
Thank you, and too bad you're not down here. Next week's spring break, and I really have a list of things for my husband to do, and he's not handy.
Yeah, it's that is the thing that happens on spring break. It's all the house projects.
It'll be fun.
Houston Station, Sophie on 2 for PCS Relegate.
Go ahead, Sophie. We're with you on 2.
So I have now disconnected the shell number, the shell serial number 11 Victor Yankee X-ray. And just for your information, initially I had not seen the correct one, and I did shut down the other shell PCS, but I did turn it back on, and now it's all green and all good.
We see that connected down here. That's a good config, Sophie. Thanks.
Thank you. Houston Station, Sophie on 2 for PCS Relegate.
Definitely.
Go ahead, Sophie. We're with you on 2.
Yeah, just as a heads up, it seems that Note 3 UOP labels have disappeared. There are no labels on this. So I just wanted to confirm that I'm going to plug the PCS into the correct UOP. I have the barcode that I can read to you if you are ready to copy so that you confirm that this is a good UOP, and then I will put the label back.
We're going to check on this, Sophie. We're just in the middle of a handover. Give us 2 minutes.
Sure.
All right, Sophie, we're back with you, and what we are expecting to see for that barcode is 53530 Mike. What do you have?
That's exactly what I have, 53530 Mike. Thank you. So I'm going to label this UOP2 so that there is no doubt about this one. And with that, just asking if I am going to unpower this UOP.
Here goes, Sophie. Thanks.
And just as a heads up, it seems that this UOP is linked to the token. And the label J4 on this UOP says SSC. So probably this label is bad too.
All right, Sophie, that's an expected config for that. Appreciate your willingness to relabel things, but we'll let you just continue with the procedure so you can get to your midday meal.
Okay, I'll just pass on. Send station Sophie on 2 for PCS. Procedure complete, all nominal.
Thanks for that, Sophie. Appreciate it.
Of course. Next station, Sophie on 2 for PhysioTool.
Good afternoon, Sophie. Go ahead on 2 for PhysioTool.
Hey. Hi, Serena. Good afternoon. Good to hear your voice.
Hi, Sophie. Same here. Very good to hear your voice.
All right, so... Munich station, Sophie on 2 for PhysioTool.
Sophie, back with you. That was perfect timing with a handover. We didn't copy anything you said, of course.
Okay, so starting charging time is 14:01 today, and GMT, and 7 green LEDs on the polysomnograph units.
And we copy all. Thank you very much.
Serena, and that's procedure complete. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Hope to talk to you soon as well.
And that's you for Jessica and A-Red.
Yes.
We are trying to get you to a good place where you can do everything you'd like to do with A-Red. So we've got a couple questions to see what the current config is, and then I think we've got some options to make it work for the short term. Do you have time to talk those now?
I'm just starting my biomarker activity, but sure, we can talk about it.
Okay, perfect. The questions that we have are if there have been any new knob adjustments made since what Chris did this morning with two turns. We're wondering the current length of the rope and if the detents are still disengaging.
Negative. I will double check after we're done, but I do not believe anybody has done anything else. I copied that message that you mentioned. We could try a half a turn in the other direction, but we did not do that yet. So we've just done those two turns that Chris did to tighten in order to shorten the rope.
Okay, copy. So just for the forward plan in the meantime, if the detents are still disengaging, you can turn both of the tensioning knobs clockwise half a turn, perform a bar exercise rep, and then if the detent disengages, repeat until the detent stays engaged, and you can repeat up to two full turns of those knobs. And then I'm going to check to see if we care about the length of the rope anymore to see if we can get you the full options.
Okay, so basically we can undo what Chris did in increments, starting with only a half a turn and then going subsequently from there, but then stopping as soon as the cable arm stays in.
Yeah, that's a good understanding.
Okay, yeah, just so you know, like, sometimes you do that and it looks like it's staying in, but then once you put load on it and start exercising, like it'll stay in for maybe 9 reps, then it comes out on the 10th. So it is kind of, you know, once it's under load and motion, it's different than evaluating it when it's just stable. So that's kind of why we have to get, like, iterate back and forth.
Okay, copy, standby one. Okay, yeah, I think, like, if you are doing this test, you're welcome to load it up and go as many reps as you think makes sense to see if it's going to stay. But we understand that, yeah, it's complicated.
Okay, yeah, I see that Andre is the next to use A-Red. He's starting it a little bit, but everybody else is I think, tied up with activities. And I think it would be better to have one of us there for this. So let me check with the crew and see if anybody has any flexibility right now so that we could help Andre with that at the start of his session.
Copy. Yeah, that's what we were thinking. If one of you could help give him the rundown, that would be amazing. Todd did say that your biomarker items today are a little flexible, so I think it's okay. But, yeah, I'll let you all decide how to handle it.
Okay, thanks.
Station Huntsville on Space to Ground 2 for Jessica and Bioanalyzer.
Right on 2.
Jessica, we just wanted to confirm which of the bioanalyzer activities you were working in. We're getting Occam's updates a little bit slow for Optimus on the ground right now. Are you complete with the hardware setup, or have you moved towards the bioanalyzer biomarker calibration activity?
Complete with the first one, but I was waiting for the LEDs, so I just need to take a peek back there and see if the LEDs are on the proper config to finish that out. But otherwise, yeah, that first activity is done.
Copy. Thanks for the status. We do need about 15 minutes of commanding time between those two activities. If you like, I can give you a call when we are go for that second activity.
Yeah, that sounds good. Give me a call, and then I will take a look right now and make sure that we have the proper LED config. If it's not correct, I'll call you back, but otherwise you could assume that it is green.
Sounds like a plan. Station Huntsville on Space to Ground 2 for Jessica and Bioanalyzer.
7-2.
We are ready to roll into this next activity. You are going step one.
Okay, copy. Just finishing up a couple of these steps for Houston for the A-Red, and then I'll be back in Columbus. Thank you.
Perfect.
Huntsville Station on 2 for Biomarker.
With you on 2.
Yeah, I have calibration microchip serial number 01.
Copy, that's a good number.
Huntsville Station on 2 for Biomarker.
With you on 2.
Just checking if it actually matters if it's a blue or black pen for step 15. It seems pretty specific about blue, and if a blue is not available, then check POIC. I've got a black pen, just wondering if that'll do the trick.
We do need it to be a blue pen. That's the one that the ground team used on their instrument, and we'd like that data to match.
Okay, I will try to see if we have any blue pens. What if we don't?
I'll get you some words for next plan. I do have a location for where we might expect those to be, if that is helpful.
Okay, is that just in the Node 1 pantry?
That's A-firm.
Okay, I'll go take a look. I was looking at the ones we had deployed, and they're all black, but I'll see if there's any blue ones there. Pulsation on 2 for biomarker.
With you on 2.
Unfortunately, we don't seem to have any blue pens. I looked in the pantry in Node 1, and there are flight pens. Those are the ones we have deployed in Mosa Station, and they're all black ink. And then there is a section with, like, three or four different Ziploc bags that says black retractable pen. But there's only black, at least in the pantry that we have access to right now, Node 1.
Okay, copy that. Stand by 1.
Depending on what you guys want to do, I could float down to the Russian segment and ask them if they have any blue pens, but I'm just wondering, it depends on how much time you guys want me to spend on this.
Copy the offer, stand by 1. Jessica, back with you. Thanks for the offer to go get one from our Russian counterparts. We will actually go ahead and proceed at this point with the black pen, and our teams on the ground will do a little bit of post-processing. We don't want to take up too much of your time trying to dig around for a blue pen.
Okay, copy. We'll go ahead with black. Thank you.
Send station Sophie on 2 for crew active dosimeter.
Sophie on 2.
So I did find the crew active dosimeter, serial number 0111, but I was wondering where I can find the suspected failed one, serial number 0129.
Copy, checking.
If it's the one that I have every day with me on me, maybe, I don't know, but I just have a barcode on me, and on the corrective dosimeter, I don't have the serial number.
Copy. Can you give me the barcode of the one that's on you?
Barcode is 275873 Juliet.
Okay, copy. Yeah, that's the one. So you are go to swap the one that you're wearing with the other one.
Copy. Houston, station Sophie on 2 for PMD depress.
Sophie, go ahead.
I'm Tiny Vita ahead of schedule, but I'm ready on your go to start the PMD teardown.
Copy. Yes, you are go in step 17.
Okay, go in step 17. Thank you.
So, station on 2 for biomarker.
With you on 2.
Almost finished up here. It doesn't say anything about stowing, but the stow note says re-stow to current location. So am I actually breaking this down and stowing it, or I'm assuming I'm leaving it all deployed?
You'll stow that in your activity at 16:35. We have some ground commanding that we'll do between now and then, so if you'd like, I can call and give you a go when we are ready for that activity.
Okay, yeah, no problem. You can call me, or I'll just do it per schedule. I didn't look that far out then, I guess. Thank you very much.
Station Houston on 2 for Chris.
Right on 2 for Chris. Chris is with you on 2.
Okay, so we only have one on board, and we're recommending toolbox drawer 3. There's a ratcheting bit set kit that should have a 1/16 hex bit.
Okay, yeah, I will go look for that, and hopefully I can get, hopefully that'll work.
Okay, good luck.
Station on 2 for PMA1 IMV. Cleaning.
Jessica, safing is in place. You're going step 2, and I would love just a quick summary of how it went with Andreas Ayred, if you have time.
Okay, yeah, copy, go in step 2. He is on Ayred now. The cable arm has been staying in so far the whole time he's been exercising. So we did that one, that half turn, like you said, and so far it's staying in.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Station Sophia 2 for PND, third down.
On 2.
So I tracked the whole power chain leading to the PMD, and it was kind of obvious that this power to UOP1J3 were leading to the correct
the correct 120 volt VDC to VAC inverter, and then to the and powering then the PMD. So just everything is powered down now, and I was able to remove the cable, and so I think that's the 20 complete.
Great, great news. Yeah, I know we were working to try and figure out what the config was and making sure we're on the same page, but that's perfect. The you being right there with the hardware made it easy. Yeah, here for any other questions if you've got them.
Yeah, so on step 101, I'm supposed to check with you that we are go for disconnected node 1 stick, and then it's already been more than 1 minute that the vent valve was open.
Great, copy. Yep, concur, and you're go to press.
Okay, press into step 22. On 2 for node 1 IMV cleaning.
Copy on 2.
The PMA 1 IMV cleaning is complete.
Okay, awesome. Good to hear. And I know that Jack has a red coming up, and I can add a status to you to pass on if you'd like, that you can, he can, if there are issues, take the rope length up to 8 inches, but I'm also going to make that out to our evening DPC so everyone's aware.
Okay, yeah, I don't think it's popped out yet, so I think he already had the handover of turning it more half turns as needed up to 2 full turns, so I think we're covered.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Station on 2 for inverters.
Hey, got you on 2.
Hey, Megan, I just wanted to mention after DPC yesterday, you guys had asked which switch the item that I moved from inverter 1036 to 1039 was in the lab, and I think I forgot to call that down after DPC last night. It's just the multi-port charger that we had in there, as I mentioned, and it's in switch 1 of 1039. Now that we're complete with the PMD, let us know if you want us to just leave it in 1039 or move it back to 1036.
Copy, copy. Yeah, thank you so much for that. You can just leave it as is.
Okay, we'll go. Houston, station Sophie on 2 for node 2. Stillage activity.
Copy on 2.
Yeah, so I am currently stowing the CTV that I had deployed earlier, 1086 and 1256, behind node 2 of our HUD 4. Panel 01, and just wanted to report that it is really packed, and I think the storage could be optimized. The problem is that there are a lot of CTVs in there, and some of them are almost empty. There is very limited volume available, and I think it could be combined. For example, CTV 12F85. 1085 is almost empty, but it ends up taking a ton of space because a 1.0 CTV is not zero volume, right?
Yeah, copy all. That's really good info. Let me see if we've got a forward plan for you. I think it'll probably take a little while to get back to you, but that's good info.
Yeah, sure. So right now I'm just putting everything inside, and it's very like maxed out, and kind of I have to really compress everything. I think it's not good for the hardware inside. But, I mean, there is no damage, but it's still very, very, very tight and very compressed. And for further steps, I think it would be a good idea to optimize this. Thank you, but not now, obviously.
Yeah, totally. Okay, that's great info. I think it sounds like a perfect candidate to do a combine, and we'll talk with ISO about it. Thank you so much.
Of course.
And Sophie, just the status. Yeah, we actually have it planned for early next week to do some PMM stowage audit, so it should be cleaned up in the near future.
Sophie, copy. Station Sophie on 2 for stowage.
Sophie on 2.
Yeah, I just wanted to report that I have closed the node 2 overhead 4 panel 1 with the screws, and as I mentioned earlier this week when I took the items out, some of the screws are not in a good shape, and I think this is getting worse because of the limited volume and extra stuff that is behind this panel, so we have to really like push in everything and pack everything so that and forcing And so I think during the next sewage conference, I will bring this topic again to OSO so that we optimize the volume in there just to preserve future hardware for this panel.
Copy. Yeah, I think that's a really, really good idea. OSO would like to know how many screws are ones that are having some damage.
So there's the lower right corner of this panel, which is not in that right shape, the lowest left corner as well of this panel, basically the ones that are close to the cable. But to be honest, I would like to try without anything behind this panel, because I think with less force behind, it might be that is the problem. So for now, there are only four screws instead of six. But I'm pretty sure that the feeling of having damaged screws or like old screws is because like there's a lot of force to push against to close this panel.
Okay, copy. Yeah, really good insight. Thank you.
Thank you to the team.
Huntsville Station on 2 for biomarker.
Huntsville is with you on 2, and you are going step 1.
Copy, going step 1. Thank you.
Station Huntsville on Space to Ground 2 for Jessica and Bioanalyzer Penn question at your convenience.
Right on 2.
We just wanted to follow up one more time about which pen you ended up using. The team was looking at the data and actually got a better image than they were expecting with the black pen. So we wanted to check if this was one of the retractable pens, a capped Sharpie, or something else.
It was what we call up here the flight pens. They're like the silver casing pens. So it looks more black than blue to me, but maybe it's somewhere in between. There was also the bag of black retractable pens. I did not use that. I did not use a Sharpie, so it was what we call basically these flight pens. I can take a picture of one if you want.
No need for a picture, just that info is great. Thanks.
All right, awesome. Hope it worked out well then. Thank you. And photos of the air filters are on SSC-17 as well.
Copy SSC-17.
Munich station on 2 for T-Mini.
Jessica, Munich is with you on 2.
Yeah, I am in my T-Mini block, so I was just about to put the T-Mini on, but I actually have a safer activity with virtual reality immediately following this, which is, you know, basically donning a virtual reality headset, which I don't think would fit with the T-Mini. So if it works for you guys, I will just reverse the order, meaning the T-Mini will go on about a little less than an hour later.
And Jessica, we concur with your proposal, and you can start wearing the headband. And Jessica, one addition, we got no later than 18:10 to wear the headband.
Sorry, no longer than 1800, was that what you said?
In hours, 10 minutes.
Sorry, you're breaking up a bit there. I heard something in 10 minutes. Did you say 16:10? 18:10?
No later than time is 18 hours, 1-8, 10 minutes, 1-0.
Hey, copy, 1-8-1-0. Yep, that shouldn't be a problem. I'll be sure to have it on by then. Thank you.
Thank you.
An airlock on 2 for safer.
See on 2.
Megan, in step 11 of setting up the safer VRT, it tells me to select the stage XX-X load and not the current EVA load, but the only visual loads that I see are the IROSA prep EVA, the pump module R&R, and SpaceX Demo 1. I don't see a stage option.
Okay, we think you're going to be able to just pick the pump module one, but standby one, and we're checking for sure.
Hey, copy.
All right, back with you on to Jessica. The pump module is good to use for the load, and while I have you, to troubleshoot those Doug issues, whenever you're done with this activity and done with Doug, let us know. Pluto's going to do a reboot of the IFO-1, and hopefully that'll help. But Doug will not be available during that reboot.
Hey, copy. I will do. I'm going to have to get my T-Mini on as soon as I finish this because that was scheduled such that I would have the T-Mini headband on before putting the safer VRT on, which doesn't work. So I did work that with Munich, as you probably heard. I'll go get that on, and then I can follow up with you.
No problem. No rush at all.
Station on 2 for safer VRT.
Go ahead, Jessica.
Megan, I'm not sure. I don't remember it taking this long, but I'm trying to start.
Jessica, back with you on two. Sorry we walked right into a handover.
Oh, no worries. I wasn't paying attention either. So I am trying to boot up the Safer VRT and does open normally, but then when I go to start the headset, it just has a black screen that says standby initializing headset, and it's just had that for several minutes now. Nothing's happening. I think it generally normally takes that long. I'm wondering if maybe it's not going to work because of the problems you've been having with Doug. I know that historically we have had a lot of problems with the headset, even without the Doug problems we're having now.
Okay, Jessica, yeah, copy all. I was getting words from EVA here. We have had problems like this in the past. The mitigation steps are to check all of the cable connections, and then other further options are rebooting the SSC and rebooting Doug. So I think that probably order of operations would be helpful.
Okay, yeah, I've already checked all the connections. Doesn't seem to be that. I'll try rebooting, and then I think otherwise I'll probably just, you know, spend some time studying the Safer actions. If it's not going to work, but that's I don't believe it's huge impact for me, so not a big deal.
Okay, copy. And Jessica, Kieran, you can run the VRT without the headset as well, if that is something you'd like to try.
Yeah, aware of that, and maybe I will do that a little bit. And it did it is completely frozen, so I'm not even able to exit, so I'll have to do a hard reboot.
Okay, copy all. And yeah, the other option is to change out SSCs.
Megan, while I'm waiting for this to boot back up again, we can report that both Andre and Jack's ARID sessions were totally normal.
Copy. That's good news for today. Thank you.
So that half turn seemed... Thanks. Yeah, that half turn seemed to do the trick.
Awesome.
Stand station, Jack's on 2 for cupola cable inspection.
Jack, what's you on 2?
Located the fiber optic cable plugged into J3 on the back of the cupola. It goes around the port side of the cupola, disappears behind the corner panel on the forward port side, and I can't track it past there. And it says here in the procedure it should be plugged in the J41 on the cupola aft bulkhead, and I haven't found the J41 plug either. Hoping for some help locating that to see if it does actually snake around and plug back in there.
Okay, we copy. We're going to see if we can... figure out exactly where that is, so give us a couple.
No worries, thank you.
Station Houston on 2 for Jack and status.
Houston Station, I think I missed you on 2. This is Jack.
Hey, Jack, we are still trying to get our hands on some diagrams of the area where you're looking for the J41. Unfortunately, we don't have very many pictures of that area, so we haven't figured it out yet. But we think it should be in the bulkhead where the cupola and node 3 attach, but just wanted to give you a heads up since it's been a while since I hadn't called you. Now, if we can find a diagram that can give you a better location, then we'll let you know.
Okay, no worries. I'll have another look near the bulkhead between node 3 and cupola.
Copy.
And station Jackson 2 for cupola cables.
Go ahead.
On the node 3 cupola interface, we found a purple wire that is labeled P41, and it says 2J41 on node 1, and it also says 2J116 on node 3, and it's plugged into J116 on the node 3 cupola interface. Everywhere else I've looked at the fiber optic wire, it's encased in that black plastic protector, so not sure if this is the same wire, but just throw it out there.
Okay, copy. We're not fully sure that's it, but that's good. The two things we'd love are just letting us know if you see any damage to those cables that you can see, and we'd love some pictures.
I don't see any immediate damage, and I grabbed some photos, and I will download them for you.
Outstanding. Thank you, Jack.
Houston Station on 2 for Safer.
Yeah, with you on 2.
Megan, the headset did not work. I tried it twice, and you know, going through the whole reboot sequence and everything takes a really long time as the booting up does, but it froze both times. I was able to do a run without the headset, but I'm not sure how accurate it is because it didn't seem like you don't get the calibration step, which is necessary for the system. So anyway, I think for my training purposes, I feel satisfied that the training box is complete, and I'm going to move on to the Safer checkout, unless you wanted to follow up on anything else with Doug first.
Perfect. Yeah, that is good. You can proceed with the checkout. I just want to give you a small status is, yeah, we're gonna take down IFO1, which is going to take away Doug, and that's because we're doing that reboot because of EDAR. But there is good news hot off the presses is they figured out the root cause for the Doug issues, and they're going to work on uplinking a fix for it in the next couple days.
Okay, awesome. That's great news. Chris and I are both using Doug regularly for studying, and I think Jack and Soph, too, for Robo and stuff. So it would be awesome. Thank you.
Scan station, Jack's on 2 for stable. I've got lab cam 2 set up, if that will work for you.
I'm still with you on 2. That view looks good. And just for your SA, we are aware that there's a big LOS in the second one of your stable activities. You're good to press, and we'll have recorded video during that one.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm still, sounds good, and I will press through the LOS. Sorry, I'm a few minutes late.
No worries.
Sable.
Station Huntsville on Space to Ground 2 for Jack and Sable.
Huntsville, Jack on 2 for Sable. Just wanted to give you a heads up. In step 4, I switched the power to on, but I didn't have to do any of step 5. The Sable software just kind of automatically came up. I never had to double-click on it on the desktop, so I haven't done 5.2 select stable payload and set that. I just want to make sure that you're happy with the config or if there's another step I should do.
Yep, we're happy with that. You can skip step 5 for both of the stables.
Okay. I see that next unit now. Great, thanks.
Station Houston on 2 for iOS update.
Go ahead on 2 for station.
Hey, Chris, yeah, the only iProduct that we're not seeing is Jessica's iPhone, so that should close it out. Appreciate it.
Jessica says her iPhone is on, and she'll double-check at some point.
Okay, copy.
Station Houston on 2 for tomorrow's timeline.
Go ahead.
And if I said Station Houston, I meant Houston Station. Hey, Megan, we were just looking at tomorrow's timeline, and I see an activity tomorrow to replace the half extender and the helmet absorption bands on my helmet and also Chris's helmet, and we're kind of confused by that. I guess my first question for mine would be, like, I don't really feel like they need to be replaced just from wearing them once from the OSD, since there was no moisture at all. I wasn't sweating or anything in the helmet, so I don't feel like they need to be replaced. And then also Chris's, he just installed his, so those shouldn't need to be replaced at all either.
Okay, yeah, I've got good data here, Jessica, so I totally understand. Unfortunately, the adhesive for both yours and Chris's is out of spec. Like, it's past its lifetime date, so we do need to keep those replacements on.
Okay, so understand, and I'm assuming that's because they came from a different bag than the one that we were supposed to take them from, but we never found the bag that we were supposed to take them from. So to our knowledge, we don't have any other ones, or at least we don't know where they are.
Okay, copy that.
I understand if it's a understand if it's a certification thing, but we would happily evaluate them. Like, they're definitely very well adhered, so I don't think it doesn't seem like it would be an issue to us.
Okay, yeah, copy all. All right, we're gonna take that back to the office and we'll reevaluate. Thanks for that.
Okay, no worries. Yeah, we can just wait for an answer tomorrow too. It's fine by us.
Sounds good.
Bell station, Jackpot 2 for Sable.
With you on 2 for Sable. Thanks for the view of the screen. That was great, and we sure didn't see any errors. So thanks for the info.
Okay. Well, stand by if you need anything else.
Jack, if you're still nearby, I don't think we'll need anything else, but thanks for the offer.
Have a good night, sir.
Y'all as well.
Houston, station on 2 for tools.
Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to close the loop since also missing from the Node 1 toolbox, we're missing the 1/16 hex head, but also the 3mm hex head. And the 3mm hex head was called out in my show note today as well, but it wasn't actually used in the procedure. But I'm wondering if it might be used tomorrow. But we're missing it there, and there's also not one in the Note 2 toolbox as well. So I just wanted to check on that. So
Okay, yeah, that's really good info. We don't know off the top of our heads, but we're going to think about it, and if we need to add any other searching or let you know, we're going to put that in the activity tomorrow, and we're going to make it blue, the tool gather that's in addition to the later tool gather, so that it's clear that it goes with the JAX activity.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Sure thing. And yeah, we do see that you are going to need to use the 3-millimeter hex in the tomorrow's procedure, so we'll see what we can do to help you find something.
Yep, glad I asked. Yeah, because it's I mean, there's a lot of tools gathered for this one, but it wasn't one that I actually took out and used ever. So I don't think I got it. But yeah, there wasn't one in our normal toolboxes.
Copy. Yeah, good looking out, and appreciate the call down. Hope you have a good evening.
Thanks, appreciate it.